Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime. And although fewer than 1% of men are diagnosed with the disease, their odds of survival are worse. To help with the stressors, anxieties, and uncertainty that come with having breast cancer, the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition offers a peer mentorship program with free one-on-one support to those who've been diagnosed. And this week, Delaware Public Media's Abigail Lee sat down with Connie Holdridge, Survivorship Director at the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition, to learn more about this mentorship program here in Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what role this peer mentor support program plays in Delaware and why you think it's a necessary part.
I think it's a very necessary part of anybody's journey is to have somebody that they can bounce ideas off of. Somebody that can say, yes, I went through radiation and I'm okay. Or yes, I did chemo and my hair did grow back. You don't know what you don't know, and that's hard. Most people that I run into, and I'm one of those people, don't ask questions of their doctors. They take what the doctor says and they do it. If the doctor says, take 2 steps to the left, you do, or I did. But people will say to me, why am I supposed to take 2 steps to the left? Which they should have asked the doctor in the first place. But a lot of people don't ask their doctors these questions. They'll ask a nurse before they'll ask a doctor. And they'll ask me before they ask a nurse, because I'm not a medical person and I have nothing to gain or lose. I'm just trying to give them a personal someone to talk to that can help. So we have support groups and we have activities and we have ways to calm yourself and ways to relieve anxiety. The biggest part of having a peer mentor is having someone that says, I'm still here. I survived this. So that by itself says, oh my gosh, this is great. Somebody did survive this. So I'm not necessarily going to die. And then we need to get them calm enough to hear what the doctors are saying. You know, the doctor starts with big words or words that you're not familiar with. And instead of asking what it is, what it means, you feel like, oh, I probably should know that. So I'll just pretend I know that. And then they come to me and they say, well, I don't understand what this means. And I can explain it to them and say, it's okay. You shouldn't understand it because you haven't been here before. You know, you're learning a new language. Sometimes people need the support. I have taken people to their doctor's appointments and sat with them and they feel more comfortable because they're by themselves. And you should never go to a doctor's appointment by yourself if you're in cancer treatments. You should go with somebody else because you're going to hear only part of what's being said because you're overwhelmed. And if you have a person with you, that person can hear all of it. And then you all can discuss, did he really say that I should have this kind of surgery or that kind of surgery? And we can talk about it. Like I said, we have support groups. Okay. We have support groups, one in each county, and they are in person and on Zoom. So you can join any of the support groups that you want. We have a support group in Spanish. We have a support group for women of color. And we have a whole group just for young women. We take and train people that have finished their journey, that are ready to give back, which is what I did in 2006. And we train them to be a certified peer mentor.
I am curious as to if you could talk a little bit more about what these trainings look like for the people who are ready to give back.
Okay, so the requirement is that they be a survivor of breast cancer. And let's clarify that. Survivor of breast cancer means that from the day you are diagnosed, you are a survivor. As long as you're still alive, you are a survivor. So we have metastatic women and men who will be on medication for the rest of their lives, but that doesn't mean that their lives are over. Some of them will say, well, I'm not a survivor because I'm not cancer free. No, you're not cancer free, but you're surviving. And so we do have metastatic mentors as well, because that's another whole situation to deal with. We have a PowerPoint presentation that goes through what it is to be a mentor, and the most important part being listening and not talking. So I am listening to what you're saying and trying to help you articulate what you're saying and understand what you're saying, as opposed to spending the entire conversation telling you about my treatments. We're talking about what you have to do, how you can, my husband doesn't like me anymore. Well, that is probably not the case, but that's what you're feeling. So let's delve into that. People at work don't understand. That's probably not the case either. But again, why do you feel that way? People are getting tired of hearing me. Well, okay, that's why you talk to me, because I'm not going to get tired of hearing you. There's a lot of emotional questions there. And so we can connect you with as many different people as you want to talk, just to ask that question. And that gives that patient a little more control, because one thing we don't have is control. You know, I can't control what's going on with my body right now. I got cancer. I can't control it. But if you can find different people and different opinions and hear different stories, then you're in more control. And the more information you have, the better off you are. Again, it all comes down to your decision. It's your choice, but make an informed decision.
I think it's really interesting to sort of turn this conversation to agency for people who are, you know, have just received a diagnosis or who are, you know, currently battling cancer. So I was interested to ask you about the significance of having a mentor, of having someone who has that shared experience, but also the sort of agency that they're given in being allowed to say, you know, what kind of mentor they're looking for, age group or race or gender. Can you talk a little bit about that and the significance of it?
Most people are more comfortable with people that are like them. Okay. Doesn't matter what your race is, what your ethnicity is, what your sexual preference is. Most people are more comfortable with people that are of like mind. And if we're getting into some serious soul searching, when you're talking with your mentor, you want somebody that you feel is on the same wave that you are, on the same line. Sometimes it doesn't matter at all, but sometimes I will get that question, because say someone who is African-American, they'll say, my doctor's not listening to me. Maybe they're right. I don't know, because I don't know their doctor, but they will ask to be set up with someone who is also African-American, and see if they have a shared experience. Is it me or is it the doctor? And to that question, I always say, if you don't think that doctor's listening to you, find another doctor. Because that's the primary thing you need, is somebody that's willing to listen to your concerns, your thoughts. So if we can get somebody that is like-minded, that shares same kinds of principles, same kinds of spiritual feelings. I've had people that say, I only want to talk to somebody who's Catholic, okay? Or somebody that's Jewish, because of whatever is in their background that says, this is something that's different for me. Personally, I think that having breast cancer is sufficient for somebody to help me, because they understand where I'm coming from. Our whole purpose is to try to calm someone down. You heal better if you are not stressed. If you're stressed, you're going to make it worse. If you've got the flu and you are stressed out because you can't do something, you know, other things, it's going to take you longer to get over the flu than if you are listening and following directions and taking whatever medicine they've given you and laying down and resting. So these kinds of things are really important to help people de-stress. So one of the ways we de-stress is talking, obviously. But we have a whole program called Nurture with Nature. And just stepping outside and taking a breath of fresh air and walking through a path, or looking at flowers, or looking at the sky, or kayaking. We've done all these things in Nurture with Nature. It does relieve the stress. You are now enjoying nature. You're healing better. And when you're healing better, you're feeling better. We also encourage writing or journaling or reading. So if you're a knitter, knit, you know, because you've got to focus on what you're doing. And that's going to keep your mind from going all over the place. It's like meditating. We want you to calm down. We also have survivor socials. Now, a survivor social is a fun activity, like make it a Christmas wreath or a Thanksgiving wreath. And that is not about breast cancer, but it's only open to breast cancer survivors of any age. So when you're there and you have a commonality of all the people that are there, and you don't have to explain yourself, everybody is on the same, has been there, is on the same wavelength. And eventually it does turn to conversations about breast cancer, but you know, we're there for fun, just something that is relaxing. And it's easy to say, relax and don't do that and don't worry. That's not a good thing. In fact, we have a whole list of things not to say, like, it's going to be okay. Don't say that. That diminishes how I feel about what's going on right now. Okay. Don't say, don't worry about it. Well, of course you're going to worry about it. You know, these are things that you are platitudes that don't do anything but make the person you're talking to feel either less heard or angry.
Thanks to Connie Holdridge, the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition's Sussex County Program Director, and our Abigail Lee for enlightening us this week.